May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, today is a day when the lectionary cuts a reading in such a way that it loses so much of what makes it powerful, so much of what makes it scripture. We hear this passage from Exodus separated from what's going on around it. And doesn't it just, it just has a completely different meaning without all of this context. It sounds almost as if it's like a dry liturgical instruction, sort of like the rubrics that used to be printed in red in the BCP. And it doesn't sound very much like a text that is still the living word of God, like the kind of text that reads us just as we read it. But when we draw out our focus a little bit more from just this chunk that the lectionary has given us, we draw out our focus a little bit more and set it in context, and then this text starts to spring to life for us, especially now. This is a wartime passage. This is a wartime passage. Moses is trying to free the people of Israel from Pharaoh. And at every stage of suffering, Moses, and speaking the word of God, goes to Pharaoh and offers Pharaoh an opportunity for the violence, for this, you know, like wave after wave after wave of civic disaster to end. Will you let my people go? But Pharaoh, each time Pharaoh hardens his heart, and so God brings on the next plague. Okay, so the flies weren't big enough for you. Okay, well, up we go then. At every stage, the tension and the suffering mounts. I mean, we have to think about the fact that the people of Egypt were real people, just like we are real people today. And we have to sort of imagine our way into what this was like for the populace of Egypt at that time. And as we know now, you know, when one group of people has some scarce resource and another group of people don't, there's going to be bleed over between those two groups. And so the suffering of the people of Egypt implicated the people of Israel as well. And so what we have is this ramping up of tensions, this ramping up of suffering, and this question, is it enough for you now? Will you let my people go? And Pharaoh hardens his heart and says no. And so things just get crazier. And here we stand in today's reading. This has been going on for quite some time. And I gotta think that things on a, you know, civic level, we're feeling mighty, mighty questionable. You know, the people now for some time, the first plague was that the water all turned to blood. And so the people haven't had water now for quite some time. And you go through what the lived experience of these plagues would have been. And, you know, I imagine that Pharaoh was facing a fair amount of civil unrest from his populace. And so we have tension in the streets. We have tempers boiling over. People can't sleep because of the frogs and the bugs and the boils and the hunger, and all the animals have died. And then the locusts have taken away all of the food. And imagine how tense the situation is. Here we are just as everything is about to break and the 10th and most terrible plague is about to fall and the whole populace is in crisis. And God summons the people in this moment to religious ritual. Religious ritual. Take a lamb that is like this, not like that, a lamb that is like this. Prepare it this way, eat it this way. On this day, you have to plan ahead for this. You're going to get it on this day. You're going to let it grow up with you or something for a few days. And you're going to look forward to a certain day. And then on that certain day, we're all going to do this at the same time. We're going to prepare the lamb in a certain way. You're going to dress in a certain way, and you are going to remember this night in a certain way. It's a ritual. It's a liturgy set at the heart of the sharpest and tensest moment of the whole story. Liturgy. This is what we do on a Sunday morning, not this liturgy, but liturgy. It's religious practices, things that we do with intention and discipline. We prepare things in the same way. Like, you know, I prepare this in the same way every single Sunday when we're at St. George's. We prepare in the same way. We prepare ourselves in the same way. There are certain things we do. There are certain ways that we behave. There are certain clothes that we wear. It's liturgy. It's liturgy. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like we don't normally think that liturgy, that ritual, is this important. So important that we would stop in the middle of a life crisis like these guys were all living through, and that we would take time to be diligent and disciplined and to prepare a meal with the sort of focus and determination that God sets them to prepare this meal. I don't know. I don't think that we normally think of liturgy as this important, but this story tells us that it is. Why? What is it that God knows about us that God calls them to liturgy in the midst of this most terrifying and chaotic and life-threatening of circumstances? What is it that God knows about us human beings that is that important? Asking that question made me think back over the course of these past several months, mild set of circumstances compared to what is described in these scripture readings. And I noticed that since this pandemic began, and sort of right in March when this all kind of broke for us, I've noticed the liturgy changing in power. Have you guys noticed it? It's changing somehow. We do the same thing every Sunday morning. You know, the same words, the same pattern, the same structure. That's what liturgy is. You know, and have you noticed we kind of replicated the whole thing all the way from the way that we do our hellos at 8:40 through to the general chatter at the end. All we've done is move the whole shebang online, and we have more relaxation at the end to visit with one another. But so little else has changed. And yet the liturgy seems to be growing in power. Words that I've said 100 times before now seem to sparkle with a special meaning, almost as if there's a quiet defiance, that in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, we do the same things. We say the same things. We proclaim the same things because they all remain true, even now, even as the world has changed around us. What do we say? God is love. God is steadfast. God steadfastly calls to each of us in love. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. And God is not finished with us, no matter what comes, because God's dream for us and for all of creation remains sure. It is the same now as it was before this pandemic, because God is not dismayed by these circumstances that have come about. God remains steadfast in that vision. We have this prayer that we say, especially at ordinations, and we'll say on September 27th, keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free and the whole earth live to praise your name. Easy thing to say when things are generally good, but still true, nonetheless, when things are difficult. And now we are defiant. It's like everything has changed, even though we say the same things, because now there's a defiance that we continue to say these things when things are hard. Defiant that we still proclaim these things in times of sorrow, in times of struggle, in times like we face now, linking arms and pressing on together, proclaiming our faith in God, in Jesus Christ, who was raised even though he suffered, even as the darkness presses in. It is the defiance of our liturgy, which is invisible when times are good, the defiance of our liturgy that sustains us in these times of trial. It is the fact of proclaiming, still proclaiming, our trust in God to be true, even when the world around us conspires to prove that it's false. And in this way, I think we see our faith more clearly in times of hardship than in times of comfort, because ours is a faith that has been honed through many trials. In some ways, you could say ours is a faith that it was crafted in trial. And we can see the power of it when we are in trial, more so than when we are in comfort. Ours is a faith that has stood strong through many trials. Trials down through the years, wars and famines and plagues and persecutions, horrendous persecutions, back and back and back, wave after wave down through history, all the way back to Jesus himself and the sufferings that he faced, and back even through further through so many hardships that the Israelites faced. And all the while, we have proclaimed that God is love, that God cares about the sufferings of the people, that God has a dream for us and for all creation in which we shall dwell in harmony. As unlikely as that seems, God has persevered in that dream through generations of struggle. And God is still working on it, even now. God is not discouraged, even in the midst of all this. And so God calls to us, to each one of us, not only when things are good, not only when we feel strong and comfortable, but every day to see what holy opportunity lies ahead of us for our life, and to look for that next step, just that next step that we can take in faith toward that dream that God has. That is the story that we proclaim every Sunday, just like Christians have proclaimed it for hundreds of years, that God is love and that nothing that happens, nothing that we do can separate us from that love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Easy words to say when things are comfortable, and truer and truer and truer day by day when things are hard. That is what the liturgy does for us. The sameness each week. It's not an obstacle to be overcome or a boredom that we need to, I don't know, mix it up so that it's less boring for the younger generation or something like that. That sameness is the gift the liturgy offers. An invitation to us every time to say it once again, to link arms and to press on defiant and to shout our hope into the darkness, proclaiming our faith, shining like a lamp, rising up like yeast. For no matter what comes, brothers and sisters, hopefully it just won't be the frogs. The frogs were just too much for me. Hopefully it won't be the frogs, but no matter what comes, my brothers and sisters, God is not finished with us yet. Amen. Amen.